I'm David Dye. This is our special Christmas edition of the World Cafe, and we are so happy that Julian Koster and his singing song Badger are here to celebrate the holiday. Julian is a man with a well-developed imagination, and he is a musician who was one of the founding members of the Elephant Six Alternative Music Collective, playing with his band, The Music Tapes, Neutral Milk Hotel, and others. Julian has an album, The Singing Saw at Christmas Time, and has been traveling around the country for the last month playing caroling parties at people's houses. Hopefully he can coax Badger to sing for us in a moment. I started out asking Julian why he decided to start making music with the saws.
Well, I had a dream where a saw sang to me when I was little, and I became pretty obsessed with trying to cause it to sing, you know, trying to encourage a saw to sing myself. But it was funny because it was almost like a slightly furtive thing. I mean, I think the act of a saw singing almost like tears reality apart a little bit. It seems so much like something magical or imaginary. As a child, you're always being coached to try and embrace the real, the objectively real, and you're being taught to, you're this creature of imagination, but everyone's trying to teach you to like work with and learn the rules of objective reality. And here you are like obsessed with this thing that you're not even sure is, you know, real. And I still kind of feel that way about it. It's like whenever I see a saw sing, it's kind of hard to believe that it's actually happening in a way.
You have a saw with you, and I think about instruments like in the string family, you know the violin to the bass. But saws are always about that size. Is there different sounds to different saws?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Even small differences in height or girth really do result in tremendously different pitches or vocal ranges. And even if they're in the same range, it's an awful lot like people in the sense that each saw has an incredibly unique voice and almost a unique feeling it gives you when it sings. Once your saws sing around you a lot or you like to encourage them to sing, you'll never stop meeting new ones and wanting to meet new ones.
Now, my understanding is that you have more than one saw. How many do you have?
There's about 16 or 17 that live with me, but the number is always growing. I often meet them at garage sales or sometimes on the curb. on garbage day, you'll meet some poor soul who's been abandoned and you know, who's really probably a singer and never was meant to cut wood anyway. And there are some really beautiful... There are beautiful saws being born all the time. I mean, actually, not to plug anything, but Ace Hardware has just made a beautiful saw. That whole generation, generation of little saws that just got born are beautiful and sounding. You meet them everywhere.
So it's not like it would be with a violin or a guitar or something. Age is not necessarily an issue with the saw?
Well, it's an issue, but it's a wonderful issue because it's all... Each one has such a unique character that it's just part of its character. And the variety of ways that saws sing and you know, to have a saw singing in your lap, it's really like almost... If you were a singer, imagine being able to have different bodies. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's like, and then that's what it's like. It's like you have all these folks singing in your lap, but their soul and the way that they sing and their spirit and what they're expressing, not to mention their voice and their register, is so unique that, you know, it's a wonderful and kind of addictive thing to be able to meet so many and have them sing in your lap over a course of a life, you know?
Well, one of the things that is so distinctive about it is, and in part the voice, is the vibrato. Is that coaxed out with the bow, or is that another element of how it sings?
It's often, in my case, coaxed out with a very gentle vibration of the leg. It's almost imperceptible. And if it were perceived, one might think that you are nervous. But that's one way to encourage them to use a vibrato, for sure.
Now, was the idea of doing Christmas songs with the saws, were there something that they'd been singing with you for a long time, or how did you come up with that idea?
They've always loved, saws love Christmas, and they've always loved singing the Christmas songs, always, and usually just for me, you know, in my bedroom or sometimes, you know, when we're actually having Christmas and stuff, but honestly, all year round, really, you know, there's always a time when it feels really nice for them to sing those songs. And I know that they love singing them. So it was kind of the most natural thing in the world to try and document that. And I also just kind of wanted to put on that record myself, you know?
Well, the record is absolutely beautiful, but I'm wondering if you could play some for us live.
Sure, yeah.
Should we make requests for favorites, or does the Saws choose the tunes?
Well, this is this saw, and I should tell you that I'm holding this saw up because we're disembodied voices in your car and home. But this is Badger, who's 8 years old and only just recently began singing for people. Badger definitely has two or three favorites that Badger likes to sing especially. I had the feeling Badger wants to sing "Oh Christmas Tree" just by looking at it.
That is Julian Koster in the singing Saws. In this case, that is
Badger,
and Badger sings quite well. Badger has Badger has great intonation.
That's really kind of you to say.
Julian, I understand you've spent a lot of the month of December with the Saws caroling. How has that worked out?
It's been one of the most wonderful things I've ever known. Really, you know, it was sort of a dream to do it, and a lot of the things that I like to do most kind of start that way, and I sort of sent word out of the intention, and people wrote us letters and invited us via email, and so it became this tour that went through most of North America and into Canada, but always visiting on caroling hours in each city, going from home to home, knocking on doors of homes that we'd been invited to. And we'd be welcomed into these kind of wonderful rooms and people's lives and things in a lot of these Christmas gatherings. But every house was so different. And in every city, every house would be different and always incredibly warm. But the feeling of it would be so unique, and what we'd experience would be so unique. There's really been nothing else like it.
And you would do three or four places in a night?
Sometimes up to seven. Wow. You know, it's like 40, sometimes the caroling will go on for 30 or 40 minutes. So it depending on, there are some places like Michigan where like everything was at 20 minutes from everything. And then there'd be places that were very compact. So we could do more in the compact places. But when we reached our limit of houses we could actually do, we would let everyone know via the internet which houses accepted guests, and then people could gather at those houses to hear it, even though we couldn't go to their house.
And people would sing with the Saws?
No, the Saws would do all the singing, and I would do the singing. Both, you know, the Saws would sing some songs, and I would sing some songs, some music tape songs, because a lot of music tape songs are kind of Christmas songs anyway.
Right.
So.
Wow. Julian Koster is here with the singing Saws, with Badger, as we mentioned, and this is really beautiful. If you could do another one.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think Badger would probably be very happy to share another of its favorites with you. And that is "The First Noel."
Thank you.
the first Noel is Julian Koster and Singing Saucer are here with us today. And on the recording, there are other saws. There are saws singing together. And I know you you work with
Neezy.
Gallons.
Gallons, yeah.
Did he play or was it
your saws? Neezy's kind of my best friend. And we just, he helped, you know, we'd stay up all night working on this together. And he engineered. Helped engineer a lot of it. We engineered stuff together. And but no, actually, the Saws have only all sung in a group. I can't get them to do it in front of anybody else. They've only done it in front of me. And so they would, a lot of times they would wait till he left. The control room was upstairs when in for some of the things, and they would actually wait till he left the room to even begin to sing at all. But I'm hoping to find a way to encourage them to do that in front of other people someday. But so far, they'll just sit there mutely unless it's just me in the room.
Well, the Saws have sung with other projects, though, haven't they? Sung with Music Tapes and...
Yeah, but not as a choir. I've only gotten them to do it alone in a room with a microphone.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Although Neezy and I have played Saw together live. Neezy's been learning to encourage Saws for a while now. And so we have high hopes of trying to encourage them to sing live together a lot more in the future.
It seems throughout your musical life, you've played saws. You have a banjo next to you. I know you play accordion. You have a fondness, shall we say, super analog instruments in a digital world. Where did that start? Did it start with a saw?
It may have. I mean, to me, it's more like there's just a glow that certain things have that I kind of fall in love with. You know, there's a warmth or just a richness that, you know, I just want to be near that feeling personally. You know, I want to spend my life around those things, just like someone you love. You know, it's like you want to be around that friend. And so I think that's more where it comes from. I'm just glad that I'm in a universe where there's so many things like that, you know, so that you can go through your life and keep discovering new ones that you want to be near and get to know. And if I can have these things near me for the rest of my life and, you know, get to spend time with them making music, you know, it's like I can't think of much nicer, you know.
Julian, you seem to live your life to inspire your imagination, if I could put it that way. And I should tell people that we are not making you work on Christmas Day. That you are, how are you going to spend the day?
Hopefully on the island that I live on in Maine. It's a little island in the ocean, about a half hour ferry boat ride from Portland. And hopefully with my two friends who are sort of like my little family. And it's funny because I've been on this trip, so we haven't been able to plan very, very well. I just know that I'll be there, and I hope that they'll be there. And it's a pretty special day. My friends, it's very meaningful to them. We're capable of having some pretty neat Christmases, but we are kind of like three little kids, and with all the good and bad that comes of it. So you never know, but...
So hopefully things will get done, in other words.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. And I guess one of the ways of enhancing imagination is to live as you do, is kind of isolated, which... do you like having those big expanses of days that people, you aren't bumping into people?
You know, I do, and it feels somehow essential in a way, but I think that I just went through a really long period, a series of years, where that was what I was just glomming onto or clinging to, and I don't think that was... that. This year, I've had, you know, the extraordinary good fortune of finding a way or being allowed by circumstance and everything else to share a lot of stuff and go out into the world a lot, and to be honest, I mean, I think that it feels so much nicer and healthier, because you're not just hiding in your own imagination. It's sort of like you're actually interacting with the world and sharing. You know, I think I was a little mistaken somehow in letting myself hide away for so long. So I like this the best, I think.
Well, it's interesting how you do that. Of course, we're talking about the caroling tour, and that's one way of... but also, you've been involved with the 11-6 collective of musicians. And part of what you're talking about is being able to do this... I don't even know how you did it. This amazing tour with all these musicians interrelating. Were you kind of at the heart of setting that up?
I guess that I was being nudged by the aforementioned friends on the island to kind of go out into the world more myself and to do things, you know, to kind of try and rile my friends up too and to do things. And you know, it was a bit of almost like another, I know there's a lot of dreams in this conversation we're having, but it was sort of like, it was something where I woke up in the morning and I remembered this really lovely holiday time shows that we'd done twice in Athens that were really special to me. And I don't know if I really organized them, but I you know, I tend to just sort of have ideas, and then people, you know, sometimes those ideas can catch fire with other people and friends who have the powers to organize things will organize them or add to those ideas or transform them. But, you know, I just kind of called everybody to see if they wanted to go on a big crazy tour, because it just suddenly seemed like that was what should happen just that morning. And I reached everybody and it just kind of happened, you know, more than anything.
Well, I, for one, would like to hear the Saws sing again.
Oh,
is that
sure.
possible?
Absolutely. I suspect I know what Badger is going to want to sing. I think it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's funny how on our little trip, everything becomes a custom or a tradition, and it's really comforting. Okay, I think that's what Badger is going to sing.
Julian Coster and the Singing Saws. And I should tell people that there is a wonderful recording of a holiday album called The Singing Saw at Christmas Time that we've been referring to. And what you've heard and many, many more are on here. I should also tell people that that your dog Rudolph is here. And I was worried about, you know, how dogs sometimes don't respond to high pitches. Has he just gotten used to it?
Yeah, no, I think she's probably come to associate all of these noises with me so strongly that, you know, she probably loves them. But I suspect Saws sound pretty good to canine ears. Because I met a canine in Toronto when we were caroling there who really wanted to sing along with me and just seemed delighted. And that was really, really fun.
Oh, that sounds perfect. Julian, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for
being here. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Julian Coster, our guest here in the World Cafe.